BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
My fellow film music fans, I'm Matthew Sweet, and this is Sound of Cinema, which brings you the best of contemporary movie music and classics from the archive. Well, talk about a presidential cliffhanger. Were you talking about one? It's how this movie ends. Alfred Hitchcock's North by Northwest. Cary Grant and Eva Marie Saint on Mount Rushmore with these great skirmishes of strings. The composer Bernard Herrmann could be as wild as he liked, but not Hitchcock. He'd planned a much more violent ending. A fight on the sculpted heads of Washington, Jefferson, Roosevelt, and Lincoln. But it never happened, because it would have demeaned the office of the president.
"Due to the objection of the government," said Hitchcock, "we could only have the figures slide down between the heads of the presidents. They said that, after all, this is the shrine to democracy." On this week's Sound of Cinema, music for that shrine. John Williams salutes JFK. Hans Zimmer intercedes in Frost Nixon. And David Arnold marks Independence Day. Yes, the music is all presidential this week, and our inaugural cue is by Steven Spielberg's running mate, John Williams. It's for their Lincoln biopic starring Daniel Day-Lewis, and it might have been hewn from Mount Rushmore. The People's House from John Williams' score for Lincoln. Now, remember the other week when we detected the bloom of Aaron Copland's Appalachian Spring in the history of Western scores? Well, it's blooming everywhere in that Williams cue, and that reveals something about the musical themes and colours that tell us we're in the presence of the presidency. The coordinated upward motion of brass and strings is key, I think, particularly those trumpets and cornets that might make us think of Civil War battles or marching bands or evangelical meetings. So what we're going to do first is listen to music that does this stuff for fun, and then go back to work that seems more obviously high-minded. And David Arnold will help us conduct the experiment. Independence Day is really a very silly film that pits President Bill Pullman against alien invaders in flying saucers. But its music is both massive and straight-faced, and it begins with a patriotic trumpet cutting through on a trajectory to triumph. David Arnold's enormous end titles from Independence Day. The film is a huge knowing joke about American exceptionalism, but the music takes the movie at its word and produces something as big and impressive as a US naval aircraft carrier. Now, if you were wondering why we were bothering with the subject of the US presidency this week, well, it's obvious, I think. Catherine Bigelow's Point Break is back in cinemas in a 4K restoration. It's a movie about a gang of surfer dudes who rob banks wearing rubber masks of Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, Richard Nixon, and Lyndon B. Johnson. The ex-presidents are being pursued by the FBI in the very acceptable form of Keanu Reeves. But one scene brings these deadly opponents together in a strange form of joy as they all jump out of a plane and skydive together down to Mexico. Mark Isham's score gets into the same airspace. Skydive by Mark Isham from Point Break. This is Sound of Cinema on BBC Radio 3 and BBC Sounds, with film music fit for a presidency. You can talk to us on your smart speaker too. It's actually listening to you, like the microphone concealed in the desk of the Oval Office that gave us so many decades of fascinating tapes. We began the show with the John Williams score for Spielberg's Lincoln, but it was Oliver Stone who brought the composer into the genre. Stone's JFK movie is a seductive but tendentious and misleading work, and the dignity of Williams's music helps to sell its thesis that the CIA killed Kennedy, a fantasy in which 16% of Americans now believe. It was an odd marriage between director and composer. Stone is a fiercely ideological creature. Williams's political views are rarely voiced, though he did compose campaign music for the Democratic candidate Michael Dukakis and a concert piece for Barack Obama's inauguration. In the film, his JFK theme is performed over footage depicting the farewell speech of Kennedy's predecessor, Dwight Eisenhower. A lone trumpet mourns the president. Trevor Jones's cue Lessons in History from 13 Days, the 2000 thriller about the Cuban Missile Crisis, starring Bruce Greenwood as JFK. And we segued into that from John Williams's JFK theme from the Oliver Stone movie about the 1963 assassination. Both public-facing pieces of music, with a strong sense of the things people do when looking upwards at flags. So, is it possible to be intimate and human with the presidential subject? I'd say yes. Mark Shaiman managed it for LBJ, with Woody Harrelson in the lead as Lyndon B. Johnson and Rob Reiner behind the camera. Ironically, for a president who was revealed by the Oval Office tapes to be quite creatively foul-mouthed, Shaiman finds space for the reflective, the gentle, the personal, and kiss my grits, an actual piano. Mark Shaiman's opening theme for his score for LBJ. This is Sound of Cinema on BBC Radio 3 and BBC Sounds with me, Matthew Sweet. The rest of our programme exists in the shadow, the 5 o'clock shadow, I suppose, of the Nixon administration. Movies have treated his resignation and the Watergate scandal that produced it as the moment when America lost its innocence. It's a romantic view, but there was a bitter romance in this process. And glamour too, particularly when Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman appeared on the screen as Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein, the two New York Times journalists who exposed the story of presidential burglary and dirty tricks. David Shire scored that film, All the President's Men. It rumbles with the anxiety and paranoia of the age. It's the trumpet again, but muted, bearing the weight of unwelcome knowledge. John Haldeman's phone call and To Deep Throat One, two cues by David Shire, with titles rich with 70s history, from the Watergate drama All the President's Men. Having done the sort of journalism where you lunch CIA officers and meet people in car parks who believe the government have them under surveillance, there's part of me that thinks that for those involved, the darkness of these years will never be exorcised. That David Shire score is a vehicle for that darkness. But I can also report that the Watergate building is clean and bright and lovely and has its own hairdresser and patisserie. The Nixon presidency has inevitably been subject to revisionist accounts. We'll hear music now from two of those. First, Frost Nixon, which made Watergate into a chamber drama by recreating the former president's interview with the British TV presenter David Frost. Hans Zimmer's score has a metronome-like urgency, and maybe those literal taps might make us think of the tapping of telephone wires. Watergate by Hans Zimmer from the score of Frost Nixon. Oliver Stone's 1995 Nixon biopic, which put Anthony Hopkins in the Oval Office, has a much bigger canvas. And the powerful cue we'll hear by John Williams is really an attempt to sum up and perhaps resolve the strife of Nixon's historical moment, the moment of the war in Vietnam, the Kent State Massacre, of COINTELPRO and Black Power. It's a curious thing out of context. It begins with thunder, but the brass that emerges for an energetic and complex conversation is much more urgent and much less presidential than most of the cues we've heard this week. It could, quite happily, be battle music from a Star Wars movie. In fact, am I wrong to hear a pre-echo of Duel of the Fates, which was recorded 4 years later? Nixon was bad, but he wasn't Darth Vader. The 1960s, The Turbulent Years by John Williams from the soundtrack of the 1995 biopic Nixon. We've saved everyone's favourite president until last. Cultured, wise, authoritative, and with a voice as commanding as that of God. Morgan Freeman. He's occupied high office for years. In Deep Impact in 1999, he had to tell the world to prepare to be smashed to oblivion by a giant asteroid, and rose to the moment. In Olympus Has Fallen, he returned to power in unusual circumstances. North Korean terrorists attack the Oval Office, and he's forced, as acting president, to order an aerial bombardment of the White House. We'll leave you with music by Trevor Morris from It's Happy Ending. These, I'm told, are widely available in fiction.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.